In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21, was the favorite scriptural passage of our Holy Father and patron of our community, St. Simeon, the new theologian. He lived by these words of the promise of Christ's manifestation to the believer in this life. We are blessed this year that St. Simeon's feast day falls on the Lord's Day. October is the anniversary month of our community. Many of you may not know the basis of the founding of St. Simeon Church, of this community. It was in October of 1977 that Greek Orthodox people and some other Orthodox in this community wanted an English language church, of which there was none at that time. And the OCA came forward to offer and provide that possibility. And apparently, some of these, let's say it this way, there was a priest at the time who was teaching Pentecostalism, an Orthodox priest who was dabbling in Pentecostal and charismatic outbursts and teachings and so forth, and he had a certain following. And he, in his drifting to heresy, took St. Simeon, the new theologian, somehow as a defender and model for his craziness. And so some of these folks were following that man. To some degree, or had an interest, and they chose St. Simeon, new theologian, to be the patron of this community. So unwittingly, St. Simeon was tapped as somehow a theological rebel to be a signpost of this community. But that certainly is not the case. In fact, I wrote my thesis at seminary to refute people that were trying to use St. Simeon wrongly, falsely, for their tendencies. And this, at the time, was the only church really known anywhere to be dedicated to St. Simeon, the new theologian. Even though he has this great title of new theologian in the church has not particularly made his feast day or his remembrance that great. There's been sort of a revival of rediscovery of St. Simeon that came with that misuse of him or misinterpretation of him that occurred beginning in the 19th century. St. Theophan the Recluse translated some of St. Simeon's works, and also in the 20th century, the authority there is Bishop Basil Cribbeshain of Brussels, who wrote about St. Simeon in the 1950s, and his work was published in English in the 1980s. But an unwitting blessing came to us to have our Holy Father Simeon as our patron saint. And as it was an unwitting presumption that I should dare write about St. Simeon in a seminary, I am no better prepared to speak about him today than I was then. But still, we must honor and celebrate our patron saint on this day. Father Stephen Freeman in today's bulletin has an article about saintless Christianity, about the deep loss of a Christianity that would exist if there were no saints. He says, "The fruit of the Orthodox life is found in the saints. Those persons who have been so united with Christ that the very life of Christ himself is tangibly visible in their works and teachings. Like the resurrection of Christ himself, their reality validates the life and struggle of all believers. Saints, the saints validate the life and struggle of us all. They show the way. They point to the goal. St. Simeon's life validates traditional Orthodox monastic spirituality. As practiced in the great Studion Monastery of Constantinople 1,000 years ago. St. Simeon had great reverence and devotion to his spiritual father, the elder Simeon, the Studite, also known as Simeon the Pious. He lived in complete obedience to the words of guidance of his spiritual father. St. Simeon was no rebel or no free spirit, as moderns have attempted to portray him. He certainly was no Pentecostal. He was a monastic who fasted, who did prostrations, who lived the life of Orthodox spirituality in the first millennium, the turn of the first millennium of Christian church history. He did, however, upon the elder Simeon's departing this life, his spiritual father, immediately have an icon painted of him, which is appropriate to remember as well this day. We remember the Holy Fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council who affirmed the holy icon. So St. Simeon's, he was bold, and someone said pugnacious. St. Simeon's boldness about his spiritual father's sanctity and having an icon painted did draw criticism of him. But it is worthwhile to note that both Simeon the Pious, St. Simeon's spiritual father, and Nicetas Stephatis, St. Simeon's most devoted disciple, spiritual son, and first biographer, both of them would eventually be canonized and recognized as saints in the church also. St. Simeon is an intense personality and sometimes misunderstood, but a characteristic of many of the great holy ones of God. When he himself became an abbot of a monastery, he challenged his brotherhood with words that challenge us that challenge us today. His words address the fundamental experience and practice of all Christians on how to go to church and how to say your prayers. He says, "A most profitable instruction for beginners," is that a monk must rise at midnight before matins, recite the prescribed prayers. After so doing, he must rise with the others to go to the service of praise, the service of matins, with attention and vigilance, go through the entire service. So he's saying we should all go through the entire service with attention and vigilance. He said he should pay attention, special attention, to the beginning of the hymnody, that is the six psalms of matins, and the psalm verses, the Sticaria, and the readings, never relaxing his body by putting one foot in front of the other or by leaning against walls or pillars. His mind should not wander. On the contrary, the eye and the soul must be kept free from distraction. He must pay attention to nothing else except the psalmody and the reading as far as he is able to do so, to the meaning of the words of Holy Scripture that are being read or sung, so that not one of these words is passed in vain. His soul should derive nourishment from all of them. Thus strengthened, it should attain compunction and humility and the divine illumination of the Holy Spirit. If you do all that, then the divine illumination of the Holy Spirit comes. People wanted to say that he was teaching the baptism in the Holy Spirit sort of as a random free-form thing. No, go to church. Be attentive. Be attentive in worship, and you'll be blessed. As Bishop Bailu comments, we see here the great importance St. Simeon attached to the outward attitudes to be observed while praying in church in order to hold one's attention and to express religious fear in the presence of God. The aims of such prayers are humility, compunction, and enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. St. Simeon continues, "If you make an effort not to go through the prescribed services in church without tears, you will acquire this excellent habit. In other words, to have tears in services. He says, your soul will find nourishment even when singing the hymns, the verses, the Sticaria and Troparia. It will welcome the divine concepts enclosed in them, and your mind will rise to the intelligible by means of words. As you shed sweet tears, the time you spend in church will be like that in heaven itself, with the powers on high. This prayer in church bears spiritual fruit when it is continued by solitary prayer in the cell, also called the prayer of the rule of prayer. St. Simeon then speaks to his disciples about praying at home, praying in the cell. He says, "Stand with confidence and collect your thoughts, and do not let them roam elsewhere. Join your hands, put your feet close together, and remain motionless in one place. Close your eyes to prevent them from looking at other things, and to keep your mind from wandering. As for your mind and heart, lift them into heaven and to God, invoking with tears and groans his mercy from on high." Brothers and sisters, these are guidelines in the Orthodox Church, in the body of Christ, which have not been altered for 1,000 years since the time of St. Simeon. The same services he was talking about his monks to his monks about, but the same services we do. Same Matins we did this morning is what he refers to. And his words are certainly not welcomed by the modern spiritual free spirit seeking instant and easy gratification. St. Simeon's fundamental counsel applies to all of us, as well as the monastics. Go to church, be in church completely, attentively when here, be here when you're here, say your prayers at home, in your cell, quote-unquote, and say them as focused and attentive as possible, which includes the attitude of your body in your devotions, and live a godly life. And live a godly life. St. Simeon writes, "The grace of the Spirit cannot remain with us without the practice of the commandments. But the practice of the commandments is of no help or advantage to us without the grace of God." See, grace, commandments and grace, grace and commandments. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? We need both. He said, "Our holy fathers have renounced all other spiritual work and concentrated wholly on this one thing, that is, on guarding the heart. Guarding the heart convinced that through this practice they would easily attain every other virtue, whereas without it, not a single virtue can be firmly established." A watchful life, guarding the heart, watching our thoughts, keeping our inner peace and our inner light, living an Orthodox Christian life. Father Stephen Freeman writes words which St. Simeon would wholly, totally agree with. He says, "We are not saved by information, but by transformation. We are not saved by information, but by transformation." He says, "The fullness of the Christian gospel is found within Scripture and the Orthodox tradition and is radically committed to the transformation in this life of the believer. Our faith is not simply about gathering little nuggets of Bible trivia and little information about what does this number mean and what does that mean and so forth. The life in Christ is about transformation, not information." Father Stephen says, "And many Christians recognize that a transformation is supposed to occur within a believer, but have adopted a model that postpones that change until after death. Thus we live in this world as one time, once and for all, conversionists, and hope to simply wake up as saints in the life to come. Everything begins here and now." And just so we know, let's close with the description of St. Simeon's vision. This is his famous vision he had at the age of 20. He was doing little night vigils of prayer, prostrations in the Jesus prayer, and trying to really concentrate. This was before he even went to enter the monastery. He had met his elder, Father Simeon, but he had not yet become a monk. He was still working in the government. And he speaks about it happening as to someone else, not himself. He talks about this guy, George. Is what happened to George, even though we all know it's about him. He says, "One night, as he stood and recited, 'God have mercy upon me, a sinner,' uttering it with his mind rather than his mouth, suddenly a flood of divine radiance appeared from above and filled all the room. As this happened, the young man lost all awareness of his surroundings and forgot that he was in the house or that he was under a roof. He saw nothing but light all around him, and did not know if he was standing on the ground. He was not afraid of falling. He was not concerned with the world, nor did anything pertaining to men or corporal things enter into his mind. Instead, he was wholly, completely in the presence of immaterial light, and seemed to himself to have turned into light. Oblivious of all the world, he was filled with tears and with ineffable joy and gladness. His mind then ascended to heaven and beheld yet another light, which was clearer than that which was close at hand. In a wonderful manner, there appeared to him, standing close to that light, his elder, Simeon, and the old man equal to angels. Once this vision was over and the young man had come to himself, he was moved with joy and amazement. He wept with all his heart, and sweetness accompanied his tears. Finally, he fell on his bed. At that very moment, the cock crowed and announced the middle of the night. In closing, our Holy Father Simeon said, "For those who believe in him, for those who believe in him, Christ will become all this light. Christ will become all this and even more beyond enumeration, not only in the age to come, but first in this life, and then in the world to come. Though in an obscure way here, below, and in a perfect manner in the kingdom, those who believe see clearly nonetheless and receive as of now, the first fruits of everything, the first fruits of everything that we'll have in the future life." These are the teachings of our Holy Father Simeon, that we should know Christ now, see him now, be in that light now, take that light with us into the kingdom beyond, into the greater light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ,
glory
through the prayers of our Holy Father Simeon.